back to Guardians of the MCU episode 36. We are recording on February 25th, 2019. You will notice that this is not the voice of Qui-Gon Tim. He has gone north. I think he's fighting some wildlings, some ice dragons, or something in the land of Vermont. Different podcast, different show. So you have just me, John Stewart, but we did not want to leave you just listening to me because we do like our listeners. So we have a very special guest host, Mike from Cape Chronicles and DC Talk. We've talked for a while about bringing someone in from the those shows over to get some crosstalk between the two different podcasts. So we are happy to have Mike join us.
Crap, I thought this was DC Talk. I'm in the wrong one.
Do you need to go?
No, I'll stay for a little bit. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to get over here on Guardians of the MCU. I promised Tim I wouldn't burn it down while he was gone. I'm here. I'm ready to talk, man. So it's good. I'm excited.
Do you have your bag of chips? Because I have my bag of chips.
I do not have a bag of chips right now. That would irritate the fire out of Tim if we just started chomping on chips for the next 2 minutes in this podcast.
I did warn him that we were going to do that, and he didn't think that was a good idea.
Yeah, but no, I'm excited to be here. Yeah, like you said, I'm on Cape Chronicles and DC Talk, and I enjoy both of those podcasts, and looking forward to seeing what the future holds here at Random Chatter and in Guardians of the MCU.
So speaking of random chatter, we're going to get a couple things out of the way. As Mike pointed out, we have Cape Chronicles, we have DC Talk, we have a whole slew of shows over at randomchatter.com.
Yes.
Please check them out. There is, if you like this genre, there is really something for you, whether it's Star Wars, we have Disney, we have, I can't even keep up with them anymore. If I try to listen to all of these shows, and I'm going to sound like a bad host because I don't have time, because they all come out and I only have so many hours in the day. But
yep,
there is a lot of great stuff out there. So please do check us out. And please do continue to leave your reviews on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, wherever you find and listen to your podcast of choice. You can continue to contribute to the network at randomchatter.com/Patreon and find us at Discord at randomchatter.com/Discord. Within there, you can actually take a sneak preview of all the shows we have on the network, because there are channels for all of them and daily discussions going on across all of those. So into the news. Today is Monday. If some of you missed it, there's a tiny award show last night.
Small.
Yeah, I mean, it's well, they didn't have a host.
Yeah, I heard that went over really well.
Apparently, it made it a lot shorter.
Yeah.
So we are talking about the Oscars, the creme de la creme of the movie awards season.
Even Jason Momoa dressed up for that.
I heard he didn't have a shirt on.
No, he had a shirt on this time. He had a nice, lovely pink tux.
Oh.
A pink velvet. It was unique. Let's just put it like that.
I'm not actually surprised at all by that. So I've never actually watched the Oscars. So I always just see the snippets and read the review. So in general, not a fan of award shows in any form or fashion.
Yeah, I don't watch it either. I'd rather you just email me a list of the winners and we all move on with our lives and keep going.
That's what YouTube's for. They condense them all into, you know, a couple minute video.
Right, I'm there.
So this year was a big win for Marvel.
Yeah.
Not only did Black Panther win Marvel its first Oscar, it won Marvel its first three Oscars.
Awesome.
And while it was nominated for some and did not win, it did win for Best Costume Design. And this was the costume designer, and I'm drawing a blank, and I don't have her name in front of me. I apologize. This was the second time she was nominated for an Oscar. So it was nice to see her win
she
for
that.
She got
one, yeah.
And it, normally, you know, the costume design, these normally go to period piece types of films, and not something that's contemporary. So also a bit of unusual for one, a contemporary film to win it. But if you go back and look at the costumes for Wakanda, pretty obvious why, you know, they were a strong contender to pick up the Oscar for that.
She did a great job on those costumes in that movie.
Yeah. I mean that, and one of the next ones that won Best Visual Effects combined with the effects that they created, throughout the movie, the two just made it. And we've talked here before, and I know it's been talked, you know, across the network on some of the other shows, just the incredible amounts of how stunning the film was across the board.
Yeah, I agree. Even though I feel like Aquaman got the shaft in the Oscars, especially at least in the best visual effects department,
Did they get the staff or did they get the trident?
They get the trident. No, I'm very happy Black Panther won because this does a couple things. I did enjoy Black Panther. It's not one of my favorite MCU films, but it's a good MCU film that I could watch over and over again. I'm glad that Black Panther got it because this opens the door now for more superhero movies to win awards in something like the Oscars. And it's only a matter of time before one of these movies makes, you know, wins the Oscar for the best picture.
Mm-hmm.
So I am very happy that it won simply because I know how hard they had to fight to get into something like this, because generally speaking, superhero movies, they don't usually typically win award shows or even get nominated. It's usually the movies that nobody's ever heard of and nobody will probably ever hear again after the award show's over. So I'm very happy that Black Panther won. I really am. So congratulations, Black Panther, Marvel. Thank you so much for paving the way for a lot of different things, whether it be diversity or whether it be the door for other superhero movies to go in and win award shows now and show that these are great movies, even though they're not, you know, period pieces or documentaries. This gives a good chance for them to win now in the future. So I appreciate that.
And so going and looking, Black Panther was nominated for 6 different awards. It won 3. The last one it won the Oscar for was Best Production Design.
Mm-hmm.
Through the power of the Google, Ruth E. Carter was the winner for the Best Costume Design.
Okay.
The 3 that it did not win for yet was nominated was Best Picture.
Yeah.
Which I'm going to come back to in a minute. Best Sound Mixing, Best Sound Editing. Now, when you look at the Best Picture, Green Book was the winner in that category. I did not see that.
I haven't seen it either, but I heard a lot of people were kind of like shocked that Green Book won.
I was shocked because I had not heard of it. But it was also in the nominee category for that. You had Bohemian Rhapsody, which I very much enjoyed. You had Black Panther, you had Black Klansman, which I also enjoyed, and a lot of people thought was the kind of front runner for that.
Right.
A Star is Born, which I actually watched Saturday night and really kind of shockingly enjoyed of how good that was. But then you had The Favorite, Vice, Roma, also rounding that out. So a couple, I think, high-profile ones, again, as you pointed out, Mike, some ones that, you know, people hadn't necessarily heard of. But even looking at the ones with big name recognition, it was up against some really powerful movies. And again, kind of first time getting nominated into the Best Picture category, you're right, really does help pave the way moving forward.
Right. Oh, I agree. I agree. And I just look forward to seeing what the rest of the future has for Marvel and DC and
the
Sony Marvel Cinematic Universe. or whatever it is that Liz absolutely hates for it to be called.
Yeah.
What was it now? I can't remember.
Yeah, it's the Sony's. It's like Sokas.
Yeah.
So speaking of Sokas, and Liz is cringing on the cruise ship that she is on right now.
Yep.
As she hears this, Into the Spider-Verse also won an Oscar. And they won for Best Animated Feature.
That is awesome. I love that.
I went back and looked. I do enjoy the little video acceptance awards that they create for those. I think they're cute.
Yeah. But I'm glad. I haven't seen Into the Spider-Verse. I've heard great things about it. I got too busy. I wasn't able to go see it yet. But I'm very happy that even though it's a Sony property, you still had another, in essence, you had another Marvel win,
mm-hmm.
And for best animated feature. And that's awesome. I'm telling you, this is just setting the groundwork for future movies. This is that the general public will more than likely see.
And it does. And I will say that I've seen a lot of, and I don't think they're considered, DCU proper movies, but DC has done some fantastic animated films, and would love to see some of those go more mainstream, because they tend to be a little bit, at least the ones I've seen, tend to be a little bit darker, grittier, but they're so well done.
They are. I think it just depends on which animated movie you see. You know, Killing Joke was obviously one of the darker, grittier ones.
It's one of my favorites.
Oh, it's a great one. I wish they would have released that mess in the theaters. Batman and Harley is one of your lighthearted ones, not as dark. Mm-hmm. I hated that movie. Batman Ninja was a pretty good one to me. Eric hates that movie. I love it. But I do think DC likes the fact that they just go straight to movies, mm-hmm. but I would love for them to make something other than Lego Batman and put it in the theater and see what happens. I think, they did that with Teen Titans Go to the movies,
mm-hmm.
But they need something kind of like Into the Spider-Verse.
Absolutely.
Something for a little older, but older people can get involved and like it too. I would love for them to do that. I think they have a really knack in their animated department. So who knows? Maybe with Into the Spider-Verse winning, DC may be looking and saying, you know what? They can win something at the Oscars. We may want to try to get something out there for the Oscars.
I think that would be a great one, whether it's drawing from the comics, whether you did something like Hush or...
That's coming out this year.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yep, in animated form.
Or have they done Fight for the Cowl?
I don't think so. I know they're doing Hush this year. They have Justice League versus the Fatal Five. And they have an unnamed Wonder Woman movie that should be coming out this year sometime as well.
I just think, because I'm more familiar with Batman from the comics, I think it'd be just a great way to also further introduce the Bat family. And those are, in an animated feature, that's a great way because you can do a lot with a lot of different characters that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So closing out the Oscar talk, they did do a nice tribute to Stan Lee.
Yeah.
In memoriam section of the Oscars. And it was actually the acceptance speech for Into the Spider-Verse went a little bit long, and as the humans who were accepting the Oscar were played out by the house orchestra, apparently a couple of them were about to honor Stan Lee. And, talked about it, backstage. They just didn't get to it, but they wanted everyone to know it was not a a slight, and they did want to honor in their acceptance speech Stan Lee, because without Stan, they wouldn't be there, and you know,
yeah,
really most of our podcasts wouldn't be here.
Right. That's true. That's true. So, yeah, well, I mean, we're definitely going to miss Stan Lee. So, behalf of all the DC fans, Excelsior.
And he was one that actually got a video clip played in his In Memoriam, and it was his cameo from the 2006 X-Men movie.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm sure we'll be getting to that one soon on Cape Chronicles.
yeah, because that's...
Maybe.
you got a long list.
Yeah, we do. We'll get there in a few months. this when movies really start picking up.
So speaking of X-Men, there were a couple other awards within the MCU. And that would be Marvel gained 2 Guinness World Book records. And actually, I think it's actually technically just 1 Guinness World Book record for 2 people. We can split hairs on this. Sir Patrick Stewart and Hugh Jackman gained the Guinness World Record for the longest career as a live-action Marvel superhero at 16 years.
That is pretty outstanding.
Yeah. And when you and we talked, actually, when this podcast first started, we talked a lot about how it was 10 years in the making to get to Infinity War. And when you think that these movies started 6 years before that in terms of what the X-Men were doing and how long Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart have been playing these roles, it is very, very impressive.
Yeah.
Who knew that they had, you know, Guinness World Records for that?
Yeah, I didn't. And I believe I made a comment about this in Cape Chronicles when we were watching the first X movie, his first one he was in. But to see how small and, I don't want to say skinny, but small and non-muscular as he is now, compared to when he was then, change in 16 years is just absolutely, you just, like, wow, he was really young back then.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even Patrick Stewart, who kind of doesn't seem to age, you can tell the age.
So, but yeah, that's awesome. Congratulations, guys, on getting those awards. I was, when I saw that note today, I'm trying to think of thinking, is there a DC character or another Marvel character that's had just about the same run or the next one up after that? And I really couldn't think of anything.
I mean, Christopher Reeves is the only one that jumps out at me.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was a long run, but timestamp wise, it probably doesn't come close.
Well, what about Ryan Reynolds? Think about Ryan Reynolds, because his first movie he started in was it the Green Lantern or was it X-Men Origins?
It was X-Men Origins as Deadpool.
Deadpool, and then he went and played Green Lantern, and but now I mean, he's back as Deadpool again.
Yeah, I mean, so you could say superhero career, he would have a running for it. And I would actually think it'd be funny if somehow he beat that, because then he would really have to acknowledge the original time he played Deadpool.
Yeah.
And I think it would be funny to see what he would do with that if he would accept the award.
Oh, that's funny. But yeah, he was the only one that I could think of that would even come close.
Yeah.
If he wanted to go that route. That's probably, 10, 11 years maybe?
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure when he first played those roles. So I'm going to look it up because it's bothering me now. Yeah. I should have looked it up earlier today.
Well, and he did troll Hugh Jackman online about that.
Did he?
And, I mean, they've got a great relationship on social media, so it's not actually that surprising.
Would he be considered a superhero since he's, you know, playing Pikachu in the upcoming movie of Detective Pikachu?
I mean, I'm not sure I would count that in his run, per se. You know, everyone has their choices to make.
Well, you know, he played in Blade Trinity. We're going to get to that here. After a while, he played Hannibal King.
So in
2004.
When you go back and look at the Guinness World Record award, it is over 16 years, but they did actually count the number of days that they were in that character as well. So it may have something to do with length of time and number of days with it. I mean, it's certainly worth going and looking at the exact wording for Guinness on that.
But
because, I mean, if you play, if you did something like 20 years apart, is that really a record if you played it once and then 20 years later came back? So I think there's got to be some, you know.
Right. I mean, we'll see, because if they do count as a live-action superhero, if they do count Ryan Reynolds in that department, we'll find out next year, because this will be 15 years since he did Hannibal King and Blade Trinity. This will be 15 years this year.
Okay.
So that's cool, though. But yeah, congratulations, Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart. That's awesome.
Nice little ways to round out their career.
Oh, yeah. He'll be back.
we'll save that for another podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So, touching back a little bit to the Oscars, there's a new Captain Marvel TV spot that debuted during the Oscars. To me, short, not a ton of new footage, but not a ton, I think, that pushed the storyline that we didn't already know. The biggest was showing Annette Bening as both Carol Danvers' mentor on Earth, as well as showing her in the Kree Empire as well. So a bit that was a, you know, that was the biggest speculation, you know, kind of coming out of it. But to me, it was actually hard to find on YouTube today. I saw a reference to it. I looked on YouTube. I couldn't find it. So to me, it didn't generate a huge amount of buzz. But it didn't curb my excitement to go see it either. I mean, as we were talking, you know, before we started recording, I have my tickets. I mean, it's a done deal at this point. Though I was actually very surprised. The theater that I'm going to with my daughter and one of her friends, because my son's going to be out of town, she wanted to invite another friend. And I was like, I don't know if that's going to be possible. But let me look. And there was a whole bunch of seats left for a 7 p.m. Thursday showing at that theater. So I was like, I mean, enough of them are like, okay, I'll take the lone man seat.
Yeah.
That's not quite as good as the ones I'd originally purchased, and you can sit with your friends. And poor old dad will go sit by himself. but I really did expect a sellout theater, and it was not.
Yeah, where I live, I'm expecting a sold out theater, because we have a pretty big theater. It's a pretty busy area, but it's not sold out at all. I don't know why. I didn't see the new TV spot. I told you before the podcast that, as we were talking, that the only trailer for this movie that I saw was the first one that really came out, when she crashed into the Blockbuster to kind of set the scene that was back in the 90s. But other than that, I haven't seen any other one. I guess I'll just be the wet blanket. I'm going to see the movie. I've got my tickets. I'm one of those that when I go into a movie, I don't care if it's Marvel or DC or whoever's making the movie. My goal is to watch that as an individual entity and grade it based on the movie itself. I don't care if it connects. I don't care if it belongs to that or that. I want to know if the movie's good enough on its own. And that's how I view a movie. But there's not a lot of interest for me for Captain Marvel, and not because, you know, I'm not DC hating here. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just, I'd much rather see, Endgame to be honest, than Captain Marvel. I know they're going to use her to kind of get Endgame set up to a point, but I don't know. I carry this idea, and I was talking to Carrie about it last night on DC Talk, that I feel like this movie would have done better about a year earlier. To go ahead and put her in the background so that people would wonder, where's Captain Marvel? Where's she at? And then when you saw Infinity War, you see the one, I can't remember the big guy's name, that was carrying the cape, it looked like, of Captain Marvel. Mm-hmm. So then since you've already seen the movie, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago, you're like, holy crap, what happened to her that now he's got the cape? Where? And to me, that would have made to see her show back up at Endgame made it like really pop. But that was me. But I'm going to see it because I'm it's a superhero movie and I'm going to see it. And I'm going to see what they're going to do and how they're going to connect it to Endgame.
I've come to really trust Marvel movies.
Yeah.
I mean, and how they do them. And I want to say I've got a little bit more faith in this because I wrote off Guardians. I really enjoyed the first one. I wrote off Ant-Man. I really enjoyed the first one. And I actually like and know more about Captain Marvel than I did either one of those other characters. So I'm and knowing that it fits into Endgame, and I think the further direction of the MCU, you know, a little bit more curious where they're going to go with her. My biggest concern with this and her is that they overpower her. They almost make her Superman-esque.
Right.
So I'll be curious to see what they do about that, because I don't want them to make her godlike.
Do you fear that's going to happen?
From what I've seen in the trailers a little bit, so I think they're going to make her, and maybe not like quite as powerful as, you know, a Superman, but I do think she's going to come across a little bit overpowered.
I saw some of the early screeners. Critics have already seen it, and that's kind of the vibe I'm getting from there, because everybody, you know, they put all the praiseworthy ones on Rotten Tomatoes, not the bad ones, but the praiseworthy ones, and they put them on there. And it was just, you know, stuff like Thanos better watch out, you know, she is, and I'm just like, I agree. I hope they don't overpower her to make her seem like the Superman of the Marvel Universe. For all of you know, I have beef with Superman anyways. I don't like Superman. I think he's way too powerful. I think if he's about to get beat, he discovers he has a new power, and somehow he can beat that new power. I can't stand that. And yeah, my fear is along the same lines as you, is that they're going to make her so powerful. Well, if Thanos couldn't stop her, then, you know, who's going to stop her now?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I don't know. But yeah.
Well, that leads us kind of into the next little bit of news, is that you were talking about the good reviews on Rotten Tomatoes and them not necessarily putting some of the bad ones. But the fake reviews, and I'm using a bit of air quotes with the fake, because I honestly, I don't know enough about it. But the reviews pouring into Rotten Tomatoes really impacting Captain Marvel's score. And these are people claiming to have seen the movies, not the critics, but
right.
Fans, and really kind of driving it down. And I saw a news report earlier today, you know, down to, I believe it was 23%. And these are, you know, obviously the article quoting from it called them trolls. I would agree in this case.
Yeah.
And because they hadn't seen the movie and really kind of commenting on, you know, reverse sexism and, you know, all sorts of, you know, different aspects, you know, with this. And this is not the first time it's happened to a superhero movie. It's not the first time it's happened kind of a movie in this genre. I remember we Echo Base talked about it with some of the Star Wars films.
Yeah.
Like, I believe this happened with, was it Justice League?
I think it was Justice League. A lot of people bombed Justice League pretty heavy, and I think that it honestly did affect Justice League, because Justice League, to be honest, was, yes, they had their blemishes, but it was not as bad as people made it out to be. Captain Marvel, I am looking at Rotten Tomatoes right now. They don't have the tomato meter for it yet, but it's down to 27% from 48,000 reviews.
Okay.
So I have problems with that. I'm a vocal advocate. Matter of fact, I stood up for Captain Marvel last night on DC Talk, and Zachary Levi stood up for Captain Marvel too.
Yes, he did.
If you don't follow him on Instagram or Twitter, y'all, you need to follow him regardless. He's hysterical to follow. But anyways, he stood up. He pretty much called them trolls as well. And he said, all you're sitting there saying that you have seen the movie, that you've seen this, you haven't seen it. You don't know what's going to happen, and it's not right what you're doing to destroy a movie. In essence, you're not helping DC or Warner Brothers. You're hurting DC and Warner Brothers by doing that. He said, because you're giving them a bad reputation by doing these kind of things. He said, go out there and enjoy the movie. They're working hard. We're working hard to bring out good, entertaining movies. Go out there and watch the movie and stop trolling it. So I carry the same sentiment, y'all. I'm a DC fan, but I love Marvel movies. Marvel's done it right. I'm not going to lie. Marvel's done a great job, and I give them great praise. So all you trolls out there, get off. Go hide in a corner somewhere.
Well, and I don't, regardless of the movie, and I wish there was a way for them to better police it. And from what I remember when it happened to Justice League, a lot of it was, because it was Zack Snyder, right?
Yeah. A lot of people had issues, have issues with Zack Snyder.
Yeah, and it had to deal more with that. And obviously these are people that, if they've seen it, they haven't seen it, the vast bulk of them legally. I'm sure some people managed to, kind of get some advanced screenings. But if you're reviewing it and you have some honest critiques, sure.
Right.
But I mean, just trying to review it to tear it down, I am not one that believes in just negativity to be negative. If you have an honest to God gripe, whether it's Rotten Tomatoes, Yelp, whatever, I mean, if you have an honest reason why to give something a low score, give it a low score.
Right.
There are things I've reviewed on Amazon and given a 1-star review on because, product description wasn't accurate. It broke quickly. I mean, there's reasons why to do it, but don't just give something at a spite and because you're trying to tear something down. I mean, I mean, that's general society. I don't get, but in this case too, it just makes no sense to me.
I agree. It doesn't make any sense. Like I said, it's not one of my top highlighted movies because obviously I'm looking forward to Shazam, which comes right after, but an Endgame as well. But I'm going to see it. I'm looking forward to it because I want to see what they're going to do. I want to see if they're going to kind of set up the next phase of the Marvel movies. I want to see how they're going to do it. So I think this is going to be good. I think it's going to, Marvel's earned that right to kind of expand out and try some different things, some risky things. So go Marvel and take care of it. And by the way, for all those people who don't like Zack Snyder, you might as well get over that because James Gunn, since he's directing and writing the Suicide Squad movie, guys, guess who's producing the movie? Zack Snyder. So James Gunn and Zack Snyder are teaming up. So if you didn't like it before, good luck. I'm loving that team up already.
and to me, I mean, Captain Marvel's success is everyone's success. Shazam's success is everyone's success.
Right.
When it comes to, this genre. I mean, a bad movie, a one that doesn't do good, just hurts all of us. And I remember, dating myself, a bit, where we would get a superhero movie every 2 to 3 years at best.
Yeah.
Not every 2 to 3 months.
Right.
So if you like this genre, root for success for everyone, because the olden days, back in my day, it stunk. I promised him I wouldn't cuss.
I think we've already been through that stage in Caped Chronicles when because we hit the 90s where it's like once every couple years we had one, and now we're just hitting, once we hit like X-Men, it seems like now we're getting three a year.
Yeah.
And that's when it starts to ramp up in early 2000s. So, yeah. Yep.
So, speaking of movies coming out, Black Widow. There's a lot of people that had different thoughts on would this be Marvel's, in the MCU, their first R-rated movie, given her background and some of the things she's alluded to. And Kevin Feige came out really clear on this and said it was never going to be. Somebody writes, I hear it's R-rated, and then everybody writes it up. So pretty definitive that it is not going to be R-rated. It is going to be PG-13. Which
it's probably, it could be a strong PG-13.
I think it's going to be a strong PG-13, and I'm fine with that. I mean, it provides, you know, to more audiences. To me, making it R was making it R for the sake of making it R.
And I think you're limiting your audience when you do that, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Although you did have some parents who brought their kids in to see Deadpool in a theater. But we won't hit that train again.
Yeah. I mean, you can't police good parenting sometimes.
Yeah.
Or, in this case, bad parenting.
Yeah.
you know, I mean, I agree. I mean, I think that a strong PG-13, I think to do it right, it needs to be a bit dark. I mean, she has a bit of a dark past.
Zack Snyder's available right here.
If
y'all want something
well,
dark.
Well, I mean, he's working with James Gunn now, so that's
right,
not
right,
work.
Right.
But I mean, it is. I mean, you know, again, there was no. I mean, the only reason to make it R was to make it R for R's sake, kind of in my opinion. So, and I'm glad because, I mean, again, and I've talked about this on other podcasts. As the father of a daughter, I like being able to take her, and who loosely kind of likes superhero movies. I like being able to take her to movies where there are strong female characters. I mean, I really like, and I kind of glossed over, but kind of touching back to it, that, you know, she's going to opening night to Captain Marvel. She's, you know, my son couldn't go, so she, you know, invited her best friend. You know, they were all talking about it at school one day, and one of her friends was like, you know, oh, that sounds like a cool movie. I wish I could go, which prompted a text to me of, hey, can my friend come? you know, as well. So, you know, 3, 12, 13-year-old, you know, girls excited to see a superhero movie, you know, with a female lead that aren't, they are not, none of them are huge Marvel fans. So I really enjoy exposing them to this genre, them seeing powerful female characters. And I think Black Panther, by making a PG-13, is a further opportunity to kind of delve into that. Without it being, and I've defended this before, they're not taking male characters and making them female, or, you know, changing their race or changing their background. These are all traditional female characters that Marvel happens to be, you know, highlighting, you know, at this point in time. To me, it is no different than DC making Wonder Woman movies. I mean, it's taking a strong, popular female character that's been around forever and making a movie out of her and doing a really good job at it.
Yeah. Yeah. I never would have thought this was going to be a rated R movie to begin with. I don't think it can be. I think your only rated R movies near Marvel is going to be Deadpool when Disney acquires him from Fox. So that's going to be your only rated R that you're going to see.
If they did an X-Force movie.
Right. It did. Yeah. So let me ask you this then. Do you think that them coming out the Black Widow movie now, after we've already had 10 years of Marvel and she's already been in there, do you think the origin movie is too late of a movie? Because she was around back in, what, Iron Man
2?
That was back in, you know, 2008, around there, 2009, somewhere around there.
I do. I think it is, I would, you know, and I think we talked about this on one of the, you know, other podcasts. It's fine putting it out as a motion picture. To me, this would almost be better on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
But with, you know, a name like Scarlett Johansson, they're not going to make this
a streaming movie,
or even like a mini series. You know, yeah. a six episode mini series. I mean, she has the name recognition that is well deserved to be a blockbuster movie. But I'm also confident that they can, you know, create it and tie it back to, you know, elements within the MCU so that things that happen there, you know, kind of become, you know, you're like, oh, that was foreshadow, you know, for what happens kind of later on. I mean, it's, you know, I would love to see, you know, what her connection is to Bucky, what her, you know, connection into is with, you know, some of the other people. How did S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of recruit her? So there's
right.
there's some aspects of it that I think will be interesting if well done. And again, they've proven themselves to be pretty good at getting it done
right.
Well.
As long as they market it well, I think they'll be fine. Like you said, I trust Marvel. Marvel's done a great job. I think this would have been a really cool movie to come right after Iron Man 2, right after you saw her really take it to the hallway when Happy's struggling with one guy, she
kind
of decimated the hallway. The next Marvel movie should have been Black Widow. This is where she got it.
And if Iron Man 2 had come out today, I think we would have seen that. I think, you know, unfortunately back then, they didn't have the confidence that a female-led
right.
movie would be, superhero movie would be successful. And I don't think it's that much of a surprise that we saw I think Captain Marvel coming out a couple years ago would have been better too. I don't think it's a surprise that we saw Captain Marvel and, you know, Black Widow being made after there was a really successful female superhero movie that came out, you know, a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And I think Wonder Woman being so successful made them see, oh, wait, you know, this is to me one of those times where Marvel's like, oh, we can do that too. And I think it's great.
Yeah.
And I do think, you know, hats off to DC. And Gal Gadot and the entire cast and crew for Wonder Woman for kind of helping pave that way. Because just like if Iron Man had failed now almost 11 years ago, you know, we wouldn't be in this. I think if Wonder Woman had not been so successful, we wouldn't see kind of a dawn of more female superhero movies being made.
Yeah. I think this movie is going to be interesting because we're going to see when we go back and watch the MCU movies after seeing Black Widow. I think it's going to make some of those scenes we saw feel different.
Oh,
for example,
absolutely.
When Scarlet Witch is messing with her mind in Age of Ultron, and you see those scenes and flashbacks in her mind, I think it's going to make some of those seem a lot different. When you see it in her movie.
Oh, absolutely.
So I think it'll be really cool.
You know, I think, I mean, to me, it's got a lot of hope and premise to it. I mean, I think as we get a little bit more rumor about what it's going to be around, we'll have a greater sense of that as well.
Oh, yeah.
So speaking of how you know, a origin Black Widow movie is going to tie back to movies that have been made in years past. And something we've talked a lot about on the podcast, and how things like the Netflix Marvel shows made references to the attack on New York, or, you know, the event, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of tried to follow along the MCU storyline, and it kind of backed out, but then occasionally kind of made reference, but then kind of backed out. Kevin Feige did confirm in an interview that in Disney Plus's upcoming television series would firmly be taking place in the MCU. He said, these are Marvel Studios productions. They will be entirely interwoven with both the current MCU, the past MCU, and the future MCU. So a lot of the complaints Tim, Liz, and I have had about those shows should hopefully be resolved. I would still love to see, as they do that, the occasional kind of guest spots from some of the actors and actresses, you know, in the movies, on the TV shows, and vice versa. So it'll be interesting to see, but I mean, it definitely seems like they're expanding the MCU tapestry.
Yeah, I think as long as they keep to that, as long as they do it, because I know they've said that about S.H.I.E.L.D., and like you said, they've backed out, and they said, we're going to do it again, and then, oh, we don't want to do it, and then, oh, did you hear about, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. got taken down in Winter Soldier, and it's just, it's weird. It really is. It's a little weird. So, but yeah, I hope they can. I really, you know, I'm going to be the negative one. I really hope they give me a teal of television series on Disney Plus that I'm really excited about.
Yep, I know me too.
This is going to sound very bad, but right now, from the series they've mentioned, from the Scarlet Witch to the Loki series to the Mandalorian for Star Wars, nothing really interests me yet.
I would actually say the Mandalorian interests me the most.
Yeah, out of all those shows, the Mandalorian is the one that interests me. Well, Clone Wars, I'm excited about Clone Wars. Yeah. But that's about it. But yeah, the Mandalorian, though, outside of Clone Wars, is probably the only other one that really interests me. I don't know what you could do with the Scarlet Witch one. The Loki one you guys mentioned on your last podcast was about he was going to be going back through time to see his influence and stuff like that. That screams to me a Disney superhero version of Timeless.
Yep. Yeah. No, I'm kind of skeptical on that.
And that one, I don't know. I feel like that one's going to flop, and I hate that. I would rather see a young Loki growing up with Thor on Asgard.
I think that's
or great. Even not even do it at all.
I mean, I would like to see, you know, do a young Avengers.
Right.
And as soon as I said that, I'm like, a complete ripoff of Titans. Sure. I mean,
yeah.
But I mean, it is. I mean, you could do, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. Academy. You could do something involving the X-Men. You could, you know, restart, you know, the Defenders and Daredevil and all of those. But you're right. I mean, there's nothing in terms of a long-term series that has me clamoring to pay for it. I'm going to pay for it because my kids love the Disney shows.
Right.
And, you know, I do want to see the Mandalorian and the Clone Wars. But I mean, and I haven't done it and need to go and binge Titans.
Yes. I mean, because then you need to get in there and watch Doom Patrol.
I mean, well, now I will check out what's on there. But I mean, it was when Titans was first advertised. And I'm not sure if I've talked about it on this podcast, but I know I've talked on some of the other ones. I really have become spoiled. I don't like watching shows if they're still ongoing. I just like to binge and generally wait and be a season behind. We were talking before recording, because this is Gotham's last series and I really enjoyed it, I'm going to kind of break that rule and kind of catch up and watch episode to episode. But I really like to batch and binge watch my TV shows. So that was when Titans first came out, I was like, this is going to be really good. I mean, and I did it with Star Trek Discovery. I've done it with a lot of them where I'm like, I'll pay for a month, binge it, and then jump out. And I know that hurts their subscription service process. But I mean, and I will say I did that for the CBS app for the kids. My kids wanted to watch a Survivor episode or season. And I want to watch Discovery. And that was 4 months ago. And I still haven't canceled it. So because we found enough to watch on it. So I think.
Yeah. We have CBS too, so it's okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think more and more of them as they get stuff on there. Yeah. But I mean, I think you're right. There's nothing so far on Disney Plus that while I will get it, there's nothing that like I'm sitting anxiously waiting for it to drop.
Right. You know, you spoke about being cord cutter earlier. You know, we're cord cutters for years now. We've, you know, we got Hulu and Netflix and CBS and DC Universe. Titans, I think, was great. Doom Patrol, I think, was absolutely hysterical. I mean, it is definitely got where it's supposed to be.
All right.
But I think the one pull that DC Universe has that I'm hoping that the Disney Plus streaming service will have, I don't know if they will, but it's their comic selection.
We talked about that in one of the episodes, that right now it hasn't announced it, and I think that's kind of foolish.
I think they should not. I don't think they should keep them unlimited. Keep them separate, because right now you get them on. It's not Xfinity. A lot of people use the comic app. I can't think of what it is now.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. You can get them a couple different ways. And it's.
I think you need to put your Disney comics on there, your Star Wars, your Marvel.
I would even say, you know, if $2-3 more for that.
Right.
You know, so because you're not going to have some people that want it and they do have so much. For a couple bucks more, I'd pay that in a heartbeat.
Right. I mean, I paid, what, $72 for a year? Well, actually, I got in on a special deal. So for 15 months for $72, I've got all the comics on DC Universe and everything original. When any of the new movies come out on video, as far as animated movies, I get it that day on the streaming service.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's worth the purchase for me. And I think Disney needs to kind of take that into consideration. Okay, how can we... I don't want to say compete, because I think Disney could do it very well.
Mm-hmm.
But how can we make ours just as good? Let's give them comics. Let's give them, if they want animated movies, we'll give them animated movies that only come out on the service. And so
I think the animated movies are the way to go. I mean, I stopped reading comics. Actually, it was probably about 10 years ago, and the only reason why I know that is Tim and I were talking about something that happened 10 years ago, and it brought back that memory. But I kind of stopped, one, because I didn't like the direction where some of the comics were going, and two, it dawned on me that I was spending approximately $50 a month on comics because I started reading so many of them, and I'm like, this... I had two young kids. I was like, this is not sustainable. I mean, no. Like, this is... This is enjoyable, but I can't keep this habit up. So, I mean, me saying that I would pay, you know, a couple bucks more a month to get them, you know, by the app, absolutely. And I think they would actually get more people reading them as well, too.
Absolutely.
But I've heard nothing of them saying that they were going to do that.
Yeah. I think they'll miss the mark if they don't do that, because to me it would seem like it's just another Hulu or just another Netflix, and and you know, I think you know, we have Disney now for our kids, right? For my kids right now, we've got a login for Disney now, and if it's going to be the same things as on Disney Plus, what's the point of me paying for another subscription?
Absolutely.
If I've already got Disney now?
Yep.
If my that's all my kids are going to watch. So I'm not knocking on it or kind of crap on the idea. I think there are some things that they need to do to kind of stay up with everybody. Like, oh, I've absolutely enjoyed being on my phone and watching the universe, and at the same time, you know what? I want to read Green Lantern. So I'll start reading Green Lantern comics from the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
And just...
No, absolutely.
So, oh yeah.
So that is all we have for the news, unless, Mike, there's something else, anything else you want to bring up?
I have, no, I have nothing. I've enjoyed being on here with you guys.
No, absolutely. And so please send us your feedback. You can always reach us at guardians@randomchatter.com. As I mentioned, you can reach us on Discord as well. That is randomchatter.com/Discord.
Awesome. And you can also reach us on Twitter if you guys want to get a hold of us. You can check us out at Random Chatter on Twitter. You can also find Lizzie at TWT About Lizzie. So it's the wonderful thing about Lizzie. You can find Tim at Qui-Gon Tim on Twitter. You can find me at OB_Mike Kenobi. So you can find us on Twitter. You can find all of our shows as well on and find most of us on Instagram. You can find Random Chatter on Instagram. You can find John. Where can they find you on Instagram? Because you're not on Twitter much anymore, are you?
No. I officially punched out of Twitter yet again.
It's because they wouldn't give you that last E.
It wasn't. It was because they wouldn't give me that last E, as well as a number of reasons. But you can find me at _JonStewart on the Instagram.
And we mentioned Lizzie earlier. You can also find her on Instagram at The Wonderful Thing About Lizzie. She's all over Instagram right now with her cruise. So she's having a ball. She put a video up earlier of somebody playing Under the Sea on drums while she was eating, and she said they just knew she was coming. She needed a Disney boost. So it was funny. It was good. So y'all follow us. It's been great to be here. Thank you guys for having me. Again, if you want to hear me some more, I'm on DC Talk, talking about DC news as well as Caped Chronicles. And John will be with us this upcoming week when we talk about X-Men 2.
I'll be over on Caped Chronicles on this upcoming Sunday to continue my run of X-Men movies. And we'll talk about a still young Hugh Jackman and Sir Patrick Stewart.
Yep, and the love triangle will be back.
Oh, I forgot about the awkward love triangle that doesn't really play well on screen.
No.
I'll watch that movie this week.
Me too.
All right, thank you all, and we will talk to you next week.
See ya.